The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews with you, and we're coming to you from the site of the next stop in the PGA Tour, which of course is the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. So we're at Colonial Country Club, and it is Tuesday, May 21st, so a couple of days before they get started here in the inaugural Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. And so we're going to talk a lot about what's coming up. We have our tournament director here, Michael Toth, joining us shortly here at Colonial. We'll also talk about the little tournament that just happened in Long Island last week in Brooks Koepka and the PGA Championship and all the things that ensued there. A great, great victory for the hottest guy on the tour, certainly right now, and one of the hottest streaks we've seen on the PGA Tour in a generation with Brooks Koepka. So we'll talk about that. And then the NCAA Men's Division I Golf Championships getting ready to get started. The women are playing right now, and they're playing at the same place, Blessings Golf Club in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The men will get started here on Friday, and a lot of golf, almost a week-long tournament that the men will play to finally find out who is the 2019 NCAA Men's Champion. And SMU golf coach and will be joining us shortly to talk to us a little bit about that as SMU qualifies as one of the teams to get into the field. It's very, very tough to get into the NCAA field here, and SMU accomplished that. So we'll talk to Jason in just a little bit. Frank, I've set the table as best I can. There's a lot of stuff that we can talk about and get into. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. It's beautiful. I'm in Nashville, of course, and the studio's here.
Yes.
It's gorgeous outside, a great day for golf, and still rehabbing my left knee. So not going to be on the course today. Darn it.
I'm sorry to hear that. It's raining here. It rained. I live in Dallas, and coming over to Fort Worth to Colonial, rained quite a bit on the way over here, and rained this morning as well, and they're expecting a little bit more rain. The rest of this week, I think, looks pretty good, if we can trust those meteorologists, which, of course, we can't.
You hate those people.
I hate those people. But if they know a little bit, then they're saying it looks like it should be fairly clear. So hopefully our fingers are crossed. And certainly rain was a factor a couple of weeks ago for the AT&T Byron Nelson. This time of year, you know, Colonial and Byron Nelson always are usually affected a little bit by some rain. But it does look like it should be pretty clear for the rest of the way, even though we had some rain here. And again, we're going to get into the Brooks Koepka part, because there's so many things to unpeel about that tournament and the way that it transpired. You and I were texting, and everybody I know was texting somebody about what was happening, because it seemed like it was going to be a walk in the park for Koepka. And by God, and I'm guessing it was all for the TV ratings. It was all conspiracy theorists. They Koepka made some bogeys just so the TV ratings would be better. It got dramatic, didn't it, Frank?
It did, big time. It was a walk in the park, though, technically. It was a walk in the park, technically.
In a state park.
Yes, in a state park. Yeah, when I went through his stats and looked at his performance, some of them are shockingly not good.
Yeah, average.
Yeah, just average.
Did what he did.
But Spieth had some great stats last week. So Jordan's on his way back to, it looks like he's stepping up now, and everything's starting to, the stars are realigning for Jordan Spieth. One can only hope. But congratulations to Brooks Koepka. What an incredible performance for the week.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal performance. And not a lot of guys will carry over after a major and play the next week. Jordan Spieth, you just mentioned, will play here. He won here a couple of years ago at Colonial, and he will be in the field playing this week. Exhausted, I'm sure, because he already said he was probably not planning on picking up a golf club for a couple of days. So that was Sunday. I imagine maybe Wednesday might be the first time he'll pick up a club again after a long, long PGA Championship at State Park there at Bethpage. So, but congratulations to Brooks Koepka, his fourth major already.
Kind of he's won 50% of the majors he's played in.
Yeah, and he played it at Florida State, a very good golf program, and a lot of great golf programs out there in the country. And Brooks just one of them. Certainly Jordan Spieth winning NCAAs at Texas, who also qualified for the men's tournament. And we mentioned that earlier, the NCAA Men's Golf Championship at Blessings Golf Club in Fayetteville, Arkansas, getting started this Friday. And let's bring in right now SMU golf coach Jason Enlow and see exactly what he's hoping for and thinking might happen there in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Jason, how are you doing today?
Hey, guys. Good to be on. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
You know, hey, Tim, I'll go ahead and say this. I bet I know what Jason is hoping for this week.
Okay, what is that?
It will be the terms of a V. Victory.
Yeah. Yes, he is. He's hoping. He's hoping. It's a long tournament, though, Jason, isn't it? Kind of give us an idea of the schedule that you guys and everybody else will be playing starting on Friday.
Well, the full field will play 54 holes of stroke play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the top 15 teams qualify for Monday, in which Golf Channel will start to televise, and they usually call it the race for eight because the final eight teams left over after Monday will square off in a match play bracket on Tuesday and Wednesday with single elimination and the eventual champion being crowned on Wednesday late in the day. So, you know, if you go all the way, you could play six consecutive days of golf, and one of those days you would have to play 36 holes. So it's a slugfest and a grind. But these kids are young, and the adrenaline that these kids have when they're playing in a championship like this, they're always fine. So I'm more worried about me making it all the way than the kids. So hopefully my ticker can take it.
And how many players does each team get to take with them when they play in the NCAAs?
Well, this year, and I think last year marks kind of the first year, most teams will travel with six players, kind of the Bo Hostler rule. You know, a couple of years ago, he got injured during the finals, and they had to forfeit a match, which kind of ultimately hurt their chances of winning against Oregon. So now we can travel with six, and if a player gets injured or is sick or, you know, lo and behold, we don't think that they're playing well enough, we're allowed to substitute up to 10 minutes before a tee time. So kind of a new rule, doesn't get used much. Most coaches kind of stick with their kids that kind of brought them to the dance. At least that's kind of my philosophy. But they are there in case we do get an injury or someone gets sick and someone can't play.
We're joined by SMU men's golf coach Jason Enloe talking about the NCAAs coming up in Fayetteville. You placed fourth in the regionals, which is the Georgia regional. And when I talked to you a couple of days ago in Athens, Georgia, you were talking about what a great facility it was and a great golf course. When you went into that, knowing you had to get into the top five, it was Georgia, Duke, Vandy, SMU, and Liberty University all made it out of the Georgia regional. What were you guys thinking? Were you surprised that you made it this far? Or was this an expectation that you guys, certainly it was a dream, it was what you wanted, but was it a bit of a surprise, or how well did you guys play at Georgia?
We didn't play that great the first day, but then the last 2 days, our guys really played well. It was a great team effort. Noah Goodwin carried us the first couple days and kept us within striking distance. And then a couple freshmen, Ben and Ollie, both shot, you know, under par and really, really good rounds on the final day, which carried us in. We finally got a little separation and ended up making it by, you know, a handful of shots. But it was, man, talk about a stressful day. It was up and down the leaderboard all day. I mean, 1 minute we're fourth, next minute we're seventh. And then, I mean, there was just no separation between about six teams. Because you know, Duke, Vanderbilt, and Georgia had pretty much separated themselves the first 2 days. We weren't catching third place. So there was about, I'd say, six teams for those last two spots. And all those other teams fought hard, and, you know, we fought hard. And man, it was just a great day of competition. And to see our guys come through like that was, you know, it was pretty cool.
Frank, you noticed that he mentioned Noah Goodwin carrying him for a couple of days, who's one of the best golfers, certainly in the country, a great junior golfer,
yes,
too, before he went to SMU. Also worth noting, my playing partner at the Payne Stewart Cup this year down at Trinity Forest, and I'd like to think I had some influence on Noah during our round there at Trinity Forest. And so, Jason, I think that a little bit of credit should be coming my way.
Oh,
I worked
my Lord.
On a couple of things with Noah. I saw a little kind of hitch in his swing a little bit, but
oh, dear God,
it's good to see that he came through for you. He picked
he
up those pointers well.
He said the same thing after the first round when he shot under par.
Did he really?
Man, I went back to that lesson that Tim Matthews gave me, and that's why I played so well.
Well, good for him. God bless that guy.
Oh, please.
Frank,
is that not interference? Tim.
The truth of the matter, I should be banned by the NCAA for even having any influence in a negative way on Noah Goodman. He was so far ahead of me, Frank, on every tee shot. I thought I would crank a few here and there. He would, like, take out a driving iron and just be 50, 60 yards past me.
Please don't mention SMU and NCAA ban in the same sentence, please.
Sorry. Yes, I won't do that. Yeah, I should know better.
This doesn't go well. It's kind of like saying bomb at an airport. please refrain from that.
Our saying bird at Ole Miss, in the Ole Miss golf locker room,
Yeah. Poor kid.
We're joined by SMU golf coach Jason Enlow. Tell us a little bit about Fayetteville, Arkansas, the course here, Blessings Golf Club. I honestly don't know much about it. That's Frank's background is Arkansas, and beautiful golf courses in Arkansas. Tell us a little bit about the course.
It is it's fantastic. We were up there 1 year for regionals about 6 years ago when we had DeChambeau on the team, and it's big, it's hard. It is it's just a real, real challenging course. And I think they're going to have it set up pretty tough for us. And, you know, our kids are just going to have to, you know that it's a, you know, it's a beast. And, take your bogey, take your medicine, move on to the next hole, because there's going to be a lot of people doing it. But it is a beautiful piece of property that Mr. Tyson built his course on, and the clubhouse is super, super cool, and the hospitality up there, they're going to treat these boys right. It'll be a true championship, and I'm sure it'll show very well on TV. And it's a beautiful, beautiful venue, so we're excited. Plus, we get to drive, so it's not that far, and really looking forward to playing against the top teams on a very, very demanding course.
Yeah, Fayetteville's gorgeous up there in the countryside, and it's very a lot of topography, if you will, in Fayetteville. Unlike where I grew up, which is
elevation changes on the course.
Yeah,
And it's a very, very nice venue to be able to have it here.
Yeah, I grew up on the east side of the state, northeastern side of the state, and it's the Mississippi River bottom, and it's flat. So I would go to the west part of the state. I'd go to Fayetteville to play with some friends when I was younger. And it would always, my game didn't fare as well over in that part of Arkansas. I kind of like flat, like Florida, northeastern Arkansas, and all that. So this SMU team you have, how are you stacked as far as sophomores, freshmen, junior, seniors?
We have a very young team, which is great for us. The starting lineup consists of three freshmen, a sophomore, and a junior. So we're young and,
awesome.
Very talented. So, they're capable of getting into this thing and going a long way if we play well. And I think everybody's starting to everybody's healthy. Everybody's playing well. We had a couple guys playing the U.S. Open qualifier yesterday, so they got in some more reps. They didn't make it, but both played fairly well, from what I saw. Some of the kids got to go home in between regionals and work with their individual swing coaches, so they should be swinging pretty good. And the group is really energized and really excited. And this was their goal at the beginning of the year, was to get to the finals and to give it a good run. I mean, there's a lot of great teams out there, that are going to be formidable. But golf is a crazy game. If we get hot and we play our game, I'll put our guys up against anybody. So
Jason, how do you mentioned they went home at the break. How do you balance what you see and what you want to tell them against what their coaches are telling them, their lifelong coaches or their swing coaches or whatever they have? I mean, that's got to be a tough position to be in when you see something that may be different than what they're being told.
Well, not that different. We kind of take a hands-off approach when it comes to talking about swing and technique. Their coaches are all very highly reputable coaches. So we more focus on culture, atmosphere, course management, just kind of helping the kids dial in the wind conditions, if the greens are firm, how much they're bouncing. Coach Parr and I just try to observe kind of how the course is playing, and
gotcha.
Then kind of get give back information. If a kid really is struggling, we'll, you know, take some videos, send it to, you know, a coach, kind of maybe see if we can't get a little Band-Aid for the week. But for the most part, these kids all have a good understanding of their own swing. So we don't really mess with that. We just mess with, you know, focus on those other things that I mentioned.
Sure.
Well, we all wish you the best of luck, Jason. We know it's
absolutely, it's
a tall order, and there's some great teams, a lot of local teams. Texas is in, TCU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M is playing. So there's some bragging rights for this area for SMU to do well. I don't have to tell you that. Huh? You knew that?
There's a lot of great golf in this area, so we're happy to be in it and playing with those teams, and hopefully, you know, our boys can go out and show that we're every bit as good as some of those teams. So, because there are a lot of really good teams in that group that you just mentioned.
Yeah, it's going to be great golf. So again, check it out. The finals coming out Monday will be on Golf Channel, but you can go online and keep up with everything that's happening in the NCAA tournaments, and let everybody know. At least in our case, we'll keep up with SMU, and we'll let everybody know how well the team does throughout this week and into next week as well, Jason. Thanks so much, and best of luck to you at Fayetteville, okay?
Thanks, guys. Always good being on. See you later.
Great. Thanks, Jason.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Jason Enlow, SMU men's golf coach. And again, the tournament starts this Friday and goes all the way through Wednesday before they crown a national champion. But a lot of golf for those guys to have to play. They're young, and I know they can get by and all that kind of stuff. They get to wear shorts, right? Carry their own bags, light bags and all that, but that's a grind. That's a lot of golf those guys have to play.
That's a ton, but they're young. I mean, he's right. They're young. They're adrenaline's flowing. They're pumping. You know, we mentioned the bird comment. I just want to clarify that about the Ole Miss Rebel team. And Jason was telling us in pre-show that Ole Miss missed by one stroke getting into this, and they did because the player who just needed to just finish after
kind of cruise home.
Took a nine on a hole because on his third shot, I believe, he hit a bird and it kicked it out of bounds. Kicked the ball.
He said he's never even heard of that, and I haven't either. That's like one of the freakiest things. And then you lose by a shot of getting into the finals. And he got a nine, like an eight would have gotten him in.
Get a shotgun full of bird shot and I'll go hunting.
Talk about frustrating.
Oh, my gosh. So, sorry about the Ole Miss Rebels. Maybe next year, you know.
Maybe next year.
Hey, yeah, but I asked him that, Tim, though. I asked him that question about his the age of his players because I was looking through, and I just wanted him to tell us. He's got a powerhouse building there with all the young players. Yeah.
Some good young players.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, they do. He mentioned DeChambeau. I mean, you think of SMU. Kelly Kraft, of course, got into the PGA Championship because Justin Thomas dropped out, and Kelly did a great job. He's a former SMU golfer and U.S. amateur champion, as is Bryson DeChambeau. Colt Knost. I mean, they've had some great golfers. And the guy we talked about, Noah Goodwin, great junior golfer and highly ranked as a junior golfer. And, boy, he can play the game. For a guy who, again, college guys, probably weighed 152 pounds, Frank. Just hits the ball like to the moon.
Well,
it was just crazy.
I cannot imagine. You really didn't give him pointers the other day at Trinity Forest, did you?
No. Okay. His pointers were stop looking at me because he's just going to get bad.
What are you looking at? What are you laughing at?
You're going to get some bad tips right there. Just stop looking.
What are you laughing at, kid?
Okay. Yeah. That's why I helped him, by just saying, do the opposite of everything I do and you'll be fine. Hey, Frank, we're going to take a quick time out because we have tournament director Michael Toth here at Colonial to talk to about what's going on. The brand new Charles Schwab Challenge here at Colonial, brand new sponsor in Charles Schwab. And I'm telling you, the PGA Tour doesn't stop, does it? You have a championship, you have a major, but a couple of days later, everybody's teeing it up for another tournament. And this week, it's here in Fort Worth where we're coming to you from Colonial Country Club, site of the Charles Schwab Challenge. And we're going to take a time out and talk with Michael Toth, the tournament director, when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio, and we're going to be back right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you right here at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, coming to you live from Colonial and Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios. And this is a brand new year, if you will, for a tournament that's been around for generations, the Colonial Championship. This is a Charles Schwab Challenge for the first year. Charles Schwab coming in as a title sponsor and joining us to talk a little bit about that and how exciting it is to be having a new sponsor and all these players that are coming. They've got a great field. Is Tournament Director Michael Toth. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
First of all, let's start with that. Charles Schwab, it's comes in. That's very, very exciting. And they're, of course, a very well-known name in the world of golf. But it's a bit of a challenge, not for just Colonial, but for everybody in today's world of competitive dollars being spent and where the marketing dollars go of getting a title sponsor and hanging on to a title sponsor. We've seen it in Houston and certainly here at Colonial and other tournaments that have gone back and forth and trying to find people to do it. Getting Charles Schwab had to have been a big sigh of relief and, wow, we not only got a sponsor, we got one of the best sponsors you could ask for.
It's not inexpensive, obviously. Yeah. Full credit goes to Jay Monahan for maintaining that relationship with Mr. Schwab, Chuck. We call him Chuck. And as the story goes, Jay was visiting with him in San Francisco, let's just say March of last year. Kind of gave the State of the Union. We're looking in Houston. Our previous title sponsor weren't going to fulfill their obligation. Looking in D.C. And Chuck said, well, you know, we're building a brand new campus 30 minutes from downtown Fort Worth and Westlake. Let's talk. And so that let's talk inked a four-year deal with Charles Schwab, and everybody knows the name. Everybody knows what kind of company they are. So we are tickled. I think they're excited too. But they're local to me now that they're building that campus with 4,000 people just a little north of us. So yeah, breath sigh of relief, no question, Tim. We've had an interesting sort of 3 years here, and it's, you know, it's such a storied property. 73 years, right. The same venue. The Wall of Champions is amazing. Ben Hogan's won this event 5 times. We have more than 8 two-time champions. So I feel like we're in the best place we've ever been since I've been a part of the golf tournament since 2008.
Yeah, it is in great shape right now with everything that's happened with Charles Schwab coming aboard. And by the way, the signage, you're right when you say it's expensive. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
I mean, Charles Schwab, it's just the money they have you put into just putting signage up everywhere, not only on the golf course, but then you get outside in the Metroplex and billboards and everything else to commercials and everything. And full page in the morning news, I think, yesterday in the newspapers talking about, hey, Charles Schwab is here and we're going to be here for a long, long time. So, yeah, that's a big pat on the back for all you guys to have that and get that sigh of relief. Now let's talk about the tournament itself. Monahan and everybody else is always trying to figure out where the best tournaments are, how to maneuver everything. Yep. And so you guys fall in with a lot of other tournaments around majors, around the FedEx Cup playoffs, WGC events, and all the other things that the guys are trying to play in. How tricky is it to, and how much can you guys influence to try to figure out where you can go in the schedule and where the best place is for Colonial, and how much do they listen to what you guys have to say?
Well, I think it's, for us, it's maybe not what we do or don't do. I mean, we know that most guys don't play more than 4 events, so they're sort of in that 3 to 4 range. I think what has helped us tremendously is the European Tour BMW Championship. Their flagship event has moved to September-ish, I guess. So that's opened us up to Poulter, Rose, Casey. You know, Fleetwood at one time was committed, Molinari. So our European Tour player that everybody recognizes here in America is, for the most part, here in Fort Worth. And Tim, we've never had that opportunity before because most guys are like, hey, European Tour, I got to go play the BMW Championship at Wentworth. So that's helped. And I think, quite frankly, busting up the Nelson and us, not being back-to-back, the market has an opportunity to watch a major between the AT&T Byron Nelson and us. We just saw what Brooks Koepka did. And so people have a great week at the Nelson. They have a great week watching it on TV here. And then they come out and see us. So I think that's going to help us too. But I like it. I think we're in a good place.
We're joined by Michael Toth. He's the tournament director here at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. Hey, Frank, we've talked about this before, about the different players and how competitive it is, right, for every tournament, for guys like Michael to try to get the top players. I'm going to give you some of the names that that they've gotten here. He mentioned Molinari and Rose, Justin Rose, defending champion. So it's always nice when a top guy wins because they usually keep coming back.
Yep.
So that's great.
Yep.
You got this guy named Jordan Spieth who's did pretty well at Bethpage Black. Your buddy, Brent Snedeker,
he is
playing it. Jimmy Walker. You've got Ricky Fowler, Tony Finau, Bryson DeChambeau, Zach Johnson, Kevin Kisner. I mean, a very, very, and it goes
great
on and
field.
On.
It's a great
good field. Considering you're coming right on the heels of Bethpage. Was that a little bit scary for you, going, how many of these guys are going to want to take a break after Bethpage?
It's a little scary.
Yeah.
It's a little scary, but what you see on that list are guys that have played here before and love it. I mean, this golf course is fantastic, and it's for everybody. I mean, Ryan Palmer is a member here. He hits it a mile. John Rahm's played well here. He hits it a mile. And then you got Zach, two-time champion, doesn't hit it a mile, but he maneuvers it around the golf course. So I think at the end of the day, we're fortunate because our, you know, regardless of this, it's amazing, but the fans in North Texas come out. I mean, we're the only event happening in the Metroplex for the most part in Tarrant County, Fort Worth proper. So it's the weather shaping up. It's gonna be fun. And some of those names you just never know. I mean, Jordan Spieth plays well here. It's you know, he's a local guy. Ryan Palmer, J.J. Henry. I mean, there's a lot of local presence, but there's a lot of international mix in here. It's gonna be a fun week.
I have to tell you, Ryan Palmer is just one of the best. He's a friend of ours, Tim's and mine both, and what he went through with his wife, of course, and then his shoulder surgery and all that, he is playing some really, really good golf right now, and I expect him to put on a show there in Fort Worth. I think he's ready to hoist another trophy, this time by
himself.
Ryan's
a member here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan's a member, does some great charity work.
Yes.
You know, I think we all, when he teed up with Rahm at Zurich, you're like, okay, interesting.
Yeah,
when you look at sort of Ryan and how he's played at Zurich the last 2 years, you know, with Jordan and then with Rahm, I mean, he plays well there. He threw out the first pitch last night.
He plays well with others.
Yeah, he plays well with others, but he plays well here, too. Like, he's good. He's great. Yeah, he's here.
He threw out the pitch for the Ranger game?
He threw out the first pitch of the Ranger game last night.
Did he mess up his shoulder?
No,
was it a fastball?
He said the catcher had to kind of come a little bit off the body, but yeah. we'll let it go.
That's a little bit outside.
Yeah, I mean,
just
Ryan and Jennifer,
outside.
What they do here in the community, you know, his son, his son's a hockey player. I'm a hockey player, so I kind of follow him a little bit. But, yeah, Ryan's especially, we're lucky to have him.
Yeah, this field, Frank, too, is top-notch, and there's some great, great golfers. But as you were saying, this tournament has been here forever and ever.
Staple.
And we were talking yesterday, I should have this stat in my head, but I don't. Is it the longest running, one of the top running in the same venue on the PGA Tour?
All right, here it is.
Give us this.
Here it is. Write it down. Longest running event on the PGA Tour at the same venue, 73 years. The only venue in the world to host Men's Open, 41. Women's U.S. Open, 1991. Players' Championship, we hosted in 75, and a regular scheduled tour event. So there's no other property, no other course in the world that's done that.
You didn't even know they had the players here, did you, Frank?
1975.
Yes, I did know. I did know that. I can hear Ken Kennerly screaming in the background over this right now. So the Honda Classic. I almost said the Honda, but the Honda is the longest running sponsorship on the PGA Tour. A single sponsor is Honda Motor Cars.
Is that right?
Yeah, they sure are. But I have, you know, of all of what you just said, here's my problem. I've not been to that country club and not seen that golf course. I've never played it. All the times I've been in Dallas all my life, I've never gotten over to Fort Worth to play it. And I'm coming. Tim, we're going to go play that course. I mean,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
I'm crazy.
No excuse
I don't know.
For that.
There is no excuse.
I think you tried to play, Frank. Did they not prevent you? Did you not get
stopped? I went in the wrong door.
Guard crossing there. You can, yeah, something happened. Yeah.
And we won't take that any further.
That was Rockwood Golf Club.
Yeah. You gave the name and
open, stuff. Open
the,
invitation.
The tradition here.
Thank you.
Everybody connects Hogan with this, but the tradition here is really unlike almost anywhere else. As you said, you go back 73 years.
Yeah.
Big statue of Hogan. When you come here, Frank, you'll see as soon as you kind of walk to go down the stairs to the first tee box or practice range, whatever. Big, huge Ben Hogan statue there with all his accomplishments and whatever. That's something that most golf tournaments and courses that we're talking about all over the tour, and there's some great venues every week on the PGA Tour, but very few can match up to what Colonial has as far as that kind of tradition.
Yeah, some special things. You mentioned the Hogan statue, without question, the Hogan deck. We do a shadow box, so we ask our champion to take a picture with our president, and we have a club from their win, and that just goes down the staircase as you head down to sort of the main level golf shop. Mr. Hogan's office, in the last days of his life was replicated down in the golf shop area. And then, of course, if you've been here, you've seen the Ben Hogan room, and that's on the upper level. And his five replicas, photos of his crash, the Hogan Bridge. There's the ticker tape photos, which is amazing. And then the plaid jacket. You know, we started the plaid jacket, probably 55, 60 years ago, and the plaid jacket is all on display here. So when Rose and Kisner and Spieth and those guys come back, the plaid jacket's in their locker, and we do a champions dinner on Wednesday night. So there is a lot of history, and you know, Mr. Hogan's looking over us. You know, he was a big part of Fort Worth golf when it started. You know, Byron Nelson and Mr. Hogan caddied at a place called Glen Garden here in Fort Worth. So you imagine how long ago that was.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's turned into a whiskey, a brewery.
It's called Firestone & Robertson. It's a TX whiskey.
Oh,
but
right.
They've maintained the golf course. So
the golf course is still there, but they've got a whiskey.
Yeah, they've done a nice job up there. It's really good.
Delta's ready when you are, baby.
When you come,
Delta's ready when you are. I'm ready to go.
Not as well known as Jack Daniels, but it's kind of nice.
Hey, I don't care about Jack Daniels. Trust me. A good friend of ours spent a lot of time there too with Mr. Hogan. She wrote a book, by the way. It said Mr. Hogan, the man I knew, and that was Chris Cheddar. Chris has spent a lot of time out at your place.
Yeah. That is the only Hogan book that I read, that I've read.
Oh, is that right?
And so, you know, at some point I said to Dennis in our office, Dennis has been with the club about 30 years, I said, what book should I read? Robert Stinn at the Hogan Foundation, he said, read Chris Cheddar's book. And I got to about page 210 where he passes away. I'm lying in bed,
brutal.
And I've got tears rolling down my eyes, and my wife, she goes, what are you crying about? And I'm like, Mr. Hogan just died. And it's really... It's a great book. And the next morning, I emailed Chris, and I said, this was a fantastic book, and I'm not going to read any other Hogan books. Because for Michael Toth, that's how I want to know Mr. Hogan.
Yeah.
And it's a great book.
Yeah, and she... You know, talking about Chris Cheddar, I've been around her a lot and become good friends with her. She's got a hell of a swing, and he mentored her for a long time. He worked with her, kind of took her under his wing. How good is that?
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt, would it?
No.
If you're going to have somebody,
it wouldn't help you or I. But
swing by the way, Frank, if you go in the Hogan room when you come here, I'm always amazed at, and of course, it's not just Hogan, it's that era, how those guys could ever hit a golf ball those one irons and two irons and things that are seriously the size of a soup spoon. I mean, how did it go 270 yards?
And the ball itself.
Yeah.
Never mind the clubs, the balls. And it's amazing to look at that equipment. And you're right. I'm with you, Tim.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with preparation meeting opportunity, Tim.
Yeah,
that could be a little bit of practice. So
we're joined by Michael Toth. He's the tournament director here at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. Another guy that you guys are honoring to some degree, Dan Jenkins, passed away recently too. And that, of course, a writer, Frank, that anybody in golf knows, Dan Jenkins, knows the name, was Sports Illustrated for a long, long time. Started as a writer here in Fort Worth, was a member here for 200 years or something. And so you see his picture, Frank, here in the media center as they're honoring Dan Jenkins as a guy who goes back to the Hogan days.
He does.
He goes back, seriously, to Hogan in the 50s at his prime. Dan Jenkins was covering him. So, again, just another part of the tradition.
Yeah,
here.
Played golf at TCU.
Yeah.
And... World Golf Hall of Fame member, and we have a nice little token to that up in the clubhouse, but recently passed away within the last month, and nice little opportunity for us to weave him into the media center down here and talk about books. I mean, he read some, he wrote some great books and some great articles, and, you know, he was never short of words. He was a pretty amazing guy, and I really didn't get to know him all that well other than, you know, sort of in the later life, but certainly a very influential man in golf, and certainly from a media perspective.
Yeah.
Most of Dan's pictures you see, though, he always has a cigarette and a glass of his favorite beverage in his hand. Most of his pictures are always
Diet Coke, I believe, Frank. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, Diet Coke, no.
He's a writer. He goes back to those days. I mean, you know, I'm a little bit old.
The GWAA, baby. The GWAA.
They had, I mean, you go to baseball games, the guys are drinking right there at their cup of beer or whatever they're drinking next to their typewriters. They're typing their stories. I mean, that was old school. They had a cigar hanging out of their mouth. I'm old enough to remember when they had a beer spigot, you know, when you could.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they kind of almost encouraged it. Like, you're going to write better stuff about the team if you have a few beers.
Lance Barrow with CBS, he tells a story about his first job with CBS, and I might gobble it here, but in essence, he's working for Pat Summerall. And his instructions were, don't call me mister, don't get excited, and pass me a beer out of that cooler. And Lance tells that story. He does a way better job, but he tells that story. But, yeah, it's a different time.
Frank, I had an opportunity. I'm going to tell you this. It's not all about me here, but this was a cool opportunity. When I lived down at Sawgrass, we opened a club called Marsh Landing Country Club, and I was one of the first members. The first annual father-son, we all lived in Sawgrass proper. Lyle and Pat Summerall played my dad and I in the first annual member son or Father's Day tournament, whatever it was, father son. And neither team did worth a flip because we started drinking on the first hole and it didn't stop until we completed the 18 holes. And then we went to the clubhouse and continued. So we didn't care about the golf. It was just the Summerall was my story. Summerall was a great man to be around. What a great, great announcer.
He was a lot of fun, and that's how Lance, I've known Lance a long, long time here.
You've heard that story then.
And yeah. And Lance got started as kind of an intern. You know, that's how he got into the business. He kind of was a butler, if you will, for Summerall when it was he and Venturi doing the broadcast, and that kind of led to Lance's storied career. Now he's also a member here at Colonial. He's on the tournament committee, I think, and everything.
We're very lucky to have Lance.
Yeah, so a little extra special coverage Colonial gets here. Angles you'll never see anywhere else because Lance knows every corner of this golf course. So it should be exciting. Justin Rose again, Michael, the defending champion, but a great, great field. It does help that you have a superstar win your tournament.
Yep.
But I'm sure you also love seeing these guys that sometimes come out of nowhere and play well, and every now and then you get a first-time winner. That's exciting, too.
Very exciting. You know, what I love is the golf course every year plays a little different. You know, last year was, I don't want to say easy, but easier. A couple years before that, when Kisner won, the wind was blowing hard, and so we got only to single digits. Sometimes we get into double digits, but yeah, it's fun to see some of these guys show off their game here at Colonial. Of course, you know, from a marketing perspective, you want a guy that's well recognized. But you know, when we get back to Ryan Palmer a little bit, you know, when Jordan birdied 16, 17, and 18 and beat Ryan, and he finished second. You know, that was tough because he is a member here. But yeah, it'll be fun. People always ask me who's your favorite champion. I say the next champion is my favorite champion. So we'll see what happens, and it's gonna be great as always.
Well, for the guys that played at Bethpage, very different golf course here. There you run into a little bit of tree issues, but as we all saw watching it, it was mostly open. Although you still had to carry about 260 to get to that open part and get to the fairways. But here, Frank, trees and tree trouble can be. So it's not as long. You guys probably 7,100 yards, maybe 7,000.
75.
75. You get out 75 for that?
Ooh.
Wow! I didn't know.
Yeah,
I'm not playing those tees.
75 with trees. Yeah. 75 with trees.
75 with trees. I mean, you get off the fairway just a little bit, you're in trouble. And so that's again, Mr. Hogan, got to be able to shape the ball. Got to be patient. You look at the scorecard, and maybe some first-timers, Tim, as you mentioned, kind of salivate a little bit looking at that scorecard, like, I'm going to tear this up. And they come off, they're like, okay, that's a little harder than I thought.
Number four, Frank, is the horrible horseshoe. Number four?
Three, four, and five. We call it the horrible horseshoe. Yep,
three, four, and five. Really tough holes. Right in the middle of that is four, which is a par three, that if you play it from the back, and I think the pros do pretty much back there, is about 246.
It's long.
It's the only 46, hole, Frank. Par
ouch.
Three.
It's the only hole on the golf course, the par threes that has not had a hole in one during the golf tournament. During the Women's Open, we had a hole in one.
Is that right?
What did you play there, Tim? Driver, three wood?
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, for us, they don't quite put it back there, but I think we still played probably in the 215 range or something. They still give us a pretty good look
iron.
At it. So yeah, I guess
6 iron.
For you. I'm not quite Kepka long, but kind of. Yeah, you play it as a you take a four and probably are happy to get four in that hole, but it does it's a challenging golf course.
I'm so jealous, boys, that I'm not there with y'all. I just I cannot wait to get over there. I will. I promise. Next year, I will make it a point to be there for sure. It's going to be great.
It's a great golf course, a great venue, and a great, great field that people, I think, are going to be pleasantly surprised when they watch this weekend on CBS and see and listen on SiriusXM and PGA Tour Radio to all the coverage, how many great golfers are here, and I think it is going to be a challenge. And I'm hoping that the weather guys are accurate. I never give them much credit, but it looks like it could be a beautiful forecast, and if that's the case, it's really going to show great on TV, too. Yep. It's just a beautiful – you guys have – and it's in great shape, isn't it?
It's in good shape.
Yeah.
It's in real good shape. We've had a little more moisture than we wanted. Scott Ebers, our golf course superintendent, in my opinion, is the best in the industry, and it looks good out there.
Yeah.
It really does.
Well, congratulations on snagging one of the best sponsors in the world. I mean, they do a lot for us on the PGA Tour Champions. Charles Schwab is the best, and congratulations on the job you're doing over there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good Thank job. You.
All right, Michael. We appreciate it. Michael Toth.
You bet.
Tournament director here at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. All right, Michael. We appreciate it. Oh, all right, Frank.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about everything we can talk about, have we not?
So.
We didn't talk a lot about the PGA Championship.
Everybody else
anything
has.
More?
No.
Any other?
I mean, everybody else has in the world.
You
I think the biggest takeaway from the PGA Championship, well, two takeaways for me. Number one, that's a hell of a performance by Mr. Koepka. He didn't back off. He just kept going. And he said he was in shock on 11, 12, 13, and 14. He said, I went into shock. He didn't know what, some wheels fell off, and he didn't know why. But he came back, he persevered, he won it with DJ coming right at him, throwing everything he had. And so congratulations to Brooks Koepka. He deserves all the credit and more in the world for that performance and for the prior performances. I mean, let's face it, four majors. He can play the majors, you know. If he turns this on at the PGA Tour itself, and I don't want to use the term Tiger-esque. I just don't, because there's Tiger, Jack's Jack, but Brooks Koepka is going to be an exciting fellow to watch and for years and years. My second takeaway, is Jordan Spieth.
Yeah,
Jordan Spieth performed. He performed extremely well, and really, really happy to see him getting his form back. It's going to make for a great rest of the season this year.
It was surprising in the Koepka standpoint. Not that he would win, but I continue to be a bit amazed how he just doesn't win as often as you would think he would on the regular tour. He's won six total events, Frank. Four are majors. It's almost unheard of. You know, Tiger's won a lot of majors, but he's won a lot of other tournaments as well, right? He won Bay Hill eight times.
Yeah.
So it's just strange that Koepka.
What did Ben Hogan win
more on the tour?
What did Ben Hogan win after his accident? It was just majors. Think about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was just majors.
Yeah. He won a lot of tournaments, right? I mean, he won a ton.
Didn't
he win 54 or something like that or something? Yeah, he won nine. Was it nine? I think majors.
But still, his focus was majors after he came back from the accident.
Yeah.
I think Tiger's focus will be majors after coming back from the surgeries. And I think Brooks Koepka's focus has been the majors because they are the most important. So,
Well, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be, I think, a good and entertaining and hopefully dry tournament here at Colonial. And as you said, great to have Charles Schwab.
Oh.
I'm looking around the media center here, and his name is everywhere.
Yes.
The company name is everywhere.
I can promise you, I'm out on PGA Tour Champions some, and Charles Schwab puts on a nice spread for the media. So hang around that media center.
Yeah.
Good food and fellowship. Good drink. Good food.
And some stock tips.
You think?
You never know.
You think?
Yeah. Somebody knows something.
Yeah.
So. All right. We've had a great show, and hopefully you enjoyed it. We love having every one of you listening to us, as always. Love to thank all of our sponsors. We haven't mentioned them, but Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com. Find out more about a golf course in your area. Over 300 clubs under the Club Corp umbrella. And if you're a member of one, you get privileges at all of them. So it's a great, great deal. Again, clubcorp.com is the website. Thanks to Jason Enlow, and good luck to the SMU men's golf coach as they head to the NCAA Golf Championships this week. Thanks for joining us, Jason, and also to Tournament Director Michael Toth here at Colonial. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks again for listening, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.